This is an Audio Wool original.
A big update on Samuel Little.
Rancher utterly horrified in Eastern Oregon.
Psychotic roommate proves cocaine truly is a hell of a drug.
While the mint sales may be on the decline, tic-tac UFOs are on the rise.
Parents of a woman obsessed with Columbine found something shocking under her bed.
And Skinny Bob is BBFs with Buddha. I'm Kelly, along with Byron. It's October 8th, 2019, and it's been a weird week. Yeah, it's also a very gloomy, bleak day out.
I'm feeling a lot more like the folks over at NPR who do that podcast Up First, because this is the earliest we've ever recorded ever.
I guess it is, if you think. I've never even...
I'm drinking coffee, not at night.
Yeah, I'm just eating chocolate cake.
Birds are chirping outside.
No, they're all dead now because it's winter.
All right, relax.
Yeah. You guys, lots and lots of weird stuff happened this week. I think nobody's going to be surprised to hear Byron has a lot to talk about in regard to a certain individual.
A monster that we talked about in, I guess, the fourth episode of It's Been a Weird Week, which I gave a brief history of this man. 5 years after analysts with the FBI's Violent Crime Apprehension Program began linking cases to convicted murderer Samuel Little, and nearly 18 months after a Texas Ranger began to pull a startling number of confessions from him, the FBI has confirmed him to be the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history. Yeah, episode 4, I did give a brief history, which I do mean brief because we didn't really know much about him other than that he was a transient and an active criminal throughout his life.
Oh, but God, it's grim, though. So here's a question I have, Byron. Did authorities tie together all of these deaths at any point before the most recent revelation and his most recent confessions? I mean, like, did they think there was one person committing this huge chunk of crimes?
Well, and we should say 93 women he claims to have murdered. And if you remember, he was tied to originally 3 murders in the LA area. They found that out due to a DNA match.
Wow.
Kind of like they did with the Golden State Killer.
Wow.
But yeah, Samuel Little. Kelly, you remember the haunting, poorly drawn, colored pencil, crayon type sketches of the women that he murdered that I showed you last time?
Yes.
Well, we've got a lot more of those, and they will definitely be in the show notes of this episode at Friday.com.
And these, who drew these?
He does. In his prison cell, he sketches these.
He remembers all of them?
He's got pretty impressive recall. And I'd say, like, what do you think of these?
Oh, God.
Describe these drawings.
A little bit like those zombie Angelina Jolie pictures.
Okay. Well, those are photographs of a woman in Iran with an Instagram.
I mean, some of them do look like that. I guess what's creepy to me is there's quite a bit of detail in each of them. And if he really is remembering that much detail, that's... I mean, good for the victims' families because it means that they'll probably have some kind of resolution, but real creepy.
I'd say he's a better artist than Otis Tool, but a little worse than John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah. See, you're probably much better to evaluate that spectrum than I am.
Yeah.
The other thing that I find weird is on some of them, he'll say, you know, killed between 77 and 82.
Yeah.
Like, he can remember absurd details about how they look, but not when he killed them?
Well, I mean, I'll get to that. This week, the big update, FBI crime analysts are saying that they believe that all of his confessions, unlike someone like Henry Lee Lucas, who confessed to hundreds of murders he didn't commit just to kind of extend the process and improve his life in prison.
Right.
The FBI thinks that all of his 93 confessions are credible, pushing that disgusting truck painter Gary Ridgway, you know, the Green River Killer, to the number 2 slot.
Ugh.
Remember Gary? He hunted the Pacific Northwest for 2 decades and confessed to 71 murders, mostly sex workers, and was only convicted of 49.
How does that happen? I don't understand that either.
What do you mean? How do you kill that?
How do you confess to killing 70 and only get convicted of killing 49?
Well, a lot of the times, especially in the case of people like Gary Ridgway and Samuel Little, they're murdering what the police consider the lesser dead. Sex workers, homeless people, and drug addicts.
It's really horrible that there's actually a phrase, the lesser dead. I didn't even know that. That's awful.
It is disgusting.
But still, like, you don't need the body if you've confessed, right?
Well, I mean, you need a name. You can't just say, I killed 500 people. gavel.
I mean, why not, though? I feel like they should be.
So Little says he strangled 93 victims between 1970 and 2005.
Was all most strangles. Recent.
Well, strangled and beat. You remember Kelly, he...
No, I don't. I block that stuff, so no, you're going to have to refresh.
He's a hulk of a man.
And oh, is he?
Yeah, he was an amateur boxer. He strangled and beat all of his victims.
Wow. So that's awful.
And some of the bodies weren't found, which also makes it difficult to prove that he did kill these women.
How many? How many have we found?
Well, I mean, like I said, we've linked him to 50 murders, and we've got drawings for a lot of the victims that are up in the air. And I should say it's FBI.gov has, what would we call this? Confessions of a killer. They're seeking assistance in identifying some of these women.
And the most recent killings were when?
2005 was the latest killing.
So what was he doing for the last 14 years?
Just being a normal homeless guy, I guess.
That can't be the case. You don't kill 93 people and then suddenly go on a 14-year dry spell.
Well, you're old at that point. I mean... I guess he could have still murdered it. I don't know what he was doing. He's just, I don't know. I discovered a couple of new details about Sam since our last report. According to him, his mother was also a sex worker, which could have fueled this hatred of sex workers. Or maybe he just liked killing people and it's easier to, again, target the lesser dead.
Is his mother dead?
I believe so. He's quite old at this point.
I'm just wondering... if his mother ever knew about any of these things.
I don't know. And in his 20s, he worked in cemeteries in Florida. But you mentioned, how did he get away with this for so long?
Yes.
I'm surprised as well. In 1982, he was arrested.
What?
In Mississippi and charged with the murder of a 22-year-old woman named Melinda Lepree.
You are effing kidding me.
No, she had gone missing in September of that year. A grand jury decided to indict Little for the murder of her. However, while under investigation, he was transferred to Florida to be brought to trial for the murder of a 26-year-old woman named Patricia Mount, whose body was found in September of 1982. Prosecution witnesses identified Little in court as the person who spent time with Mount on the night of her disappearance, but due to mistrust of witness testimonies, he was acquitted in January of 1984.
Okay, so then what about the other murder?
Also acquitted.
Okay, because when you were flipping through all of those confessions and the dates, it seems like 87 was a real big year. Yeah, and clearly that wouldn't have happened if they would have arrested and kept him.
Well, these are mugshots of every year that he was arrested here. 66, 67, 72, 73, 74, 75, 77, 78, 84, 85, 88, 90, 93, 94, 95.
So our criminal justice system is failing even more dramatically than previously.
Yeah, I mean, in October of 1984, he was arrested for kidnapping, beating, and strangling a woman named Lori Barros, who was a 22-year-old. She survived. And then he moved to San Diego, where police found him in the backseat of a car with an unconscious woman who had also been beaten and strangled. And he was sent to prison for 2.5 years.
What?
For those crimes.
Holy, there needs to be a giant line of lawyers have to answer to this. And I think perhaps some of them need to serve some time as well.
Pretty disgusting. VICAP crime analyst Christy Palazzo, I talked a little bit about her a while ago, said for many years, Samuel Little believed he would not be caught because he thought no one was accounting for his victims. And VICAP is the Violent Criminal Apprehension Program. But right now, they're actually trying very hard to identify these unknown victims and add to the closure of this awful chapter of history.
This is the number of arrests. This is despicable. I'm so... Ugh.
The Texas Ranger, who is kind of responsible alongside Christine, called Little wicked smart, adding that his recall is, quote, phenomenal. But there are details in his recollection, such as specific dates and what the victims are wearing, that isn't always accurate. And alongside these drawings, they actually released 5 videos of him describing victims. I'll play a little clip of one of those right now.
Nope, nope. I don't want to listen to that.
So you meet this girl. I guess you're at a strip bar downtown Columbus.
I went on my car. This white girl come out behind the building. And I'm in my trunk. She walked over to me. Say, come on, y'all, can you take me to Miami?
Describe this girl to me. She white, black, what she look like?
She is white, blonde hair, dishwater blonde hair, gold, and short.
Short, like shoulder length?
Yeah,
or?
No, early, a little over his ear length.
Like a bob?
Yeah, like a bob.
Okay, and, How tall do you think she was?
She was about 5'7".
How much did she weigh?
She weighed about 130.
How old do you think she was?
Oh, she's about 25.
Okay. You mentioned before that you said she kind of had like this hippie aura to her.
Yeah, she did give you a hippie feeling. I think she was some kind of hippie, yeah.
So you go to Cincinnati, you mess around on Vine Street, and then eventually you guys both get in your car and you cross over the bridge into Kentucky. Tell me about going into Kentucky.
We got to Covington and then we continued through Covington. Mm-hmm. And there was a park that they were having a festival there. And she heard the music and shit off of that band in there. And by her being a hippie type, you know, she wanted to get to that. But the police came over and peeped in our car. We really wanted me to move out of there. So we, instead of going in there, I took her the other way.
Right.
Round, winding round, they got hills out in Kentucky, and the road winds around the hills. Mm-hmm. I seen a little short road going up the hill. Mm-hmm. And up top, there was vegetation, wasn't no houses or nothing. And so I pulled up in there and concealed my, the car in that little vegetation up there on top of the hill. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this road that goes up the hill. What kind of road is it?
It was like a dirt road.
Okay.
It was like dirt. The grass was growing in the middle between two tracks. When I left her up in there, in that little road up there, on the side of that little road, she was like partially concealed by the vegetation. And I left her there. So,
to close, in a recent interview with 60 Minutes, I don't think it was with them, but it aired as part of 60 Minutes. He said, quote, "I don't think there was another person that did what I like to do. I think I'm the only one in the world. That's not an honor. That's a curse."
Ugh.
Yeah. And if you have any information linked to Little's confessions, please contact the FBI, 1-800-CALL-FBI, or submit a tip at tips.fbi.gov.
That was fun. That was real Unsolved Mysteries-like.
Yeah.
What you just did there.
Robert Stack did it.
You did. You did. I love it.
Disgusting.
Ugh.
Samuel Little, this is obviously not the last we're going to hear about this. There's so much to fill in.
Wow. Wow.
Morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Cattle mutilations. One of the topics that, for some reason, I haven't covered.
It's too early for all of this.
It is really too early.
But you're right. We have not done cattle
mutilations. Never. And I think that that's probably lurking sometime in the near future. And this is a huge phenomena that really fired up in the 80s, especially. There was a public awareness about cattle mutilations.
It was also hand in hand with the satanic panic.
Yes. But here's the thing that's interesting about cattle mutilations, though I'm sure there have been some attributed to satanic groups or odd kids who are trying to pretend like they're a satanic group.
We're talking about Marilyn Manson.
Yep. A lot of these cases really couldn't be that. And in fact, the ones that are rising up again right now and occurring specifically in Oregon, Eastern Oregon, I would be interested to hear any type of a reasonable argument in favor of cults or satanic groups. Because, well, let me just describe one of these. And just so you guys know, it has crossed into the realm of fully legit because NPR is covering it. One of their reporters went out and did this story for All Things Considered. I don't know how many of you listen to that, but that's one of my favorite.
Great program.
Yeah. Anna King went out and interviewed a rancher and actually looked at one of the corpses of a cow.
I can't imagine an NPR reporter even coming close to a cow.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Let alone one in the shape that this one was in.
And the picture. Ooh. Yeah. So this is how she describes it. The bull looks like a giant deflated plush toy.
It smells.
Obviously. But she notes that it's really weird because there are no signs of any kind of scavengers around it. Like there aren't buzzards. Doesn't appear that it's been disturbed by coyotes or anything like that.
What about bugs?
No. The picture supports this too. It looks oddly pristine. It almost looks fake.
The bull's red coat is as shiny as if you were going to the county fair.
But here's the thing. Every drop of blood has been taken out of its body.
How do you check that?
And it's, well, you can tell by looking at him. I mean, like, that picture, Byron, I don't know if you've seen it.
Believe me, I've seen it.
Okay. But, and his tongue and genitals were not just removed, but like surgically removed.
And I have a little bit of information about how that could have possibly happened naturally.
Without any footprints around.
Yeah.
And without any blood.
When an animal dies, I don't mean to poo-poo already. It's pretty early in your segment here. When an animal dies, the blood pools at the bottom of the carcass. It bloats, the skin dries out, and actually splits. It tears and looks almost surgical because of the bloat wrap.
The body isn't split. The body's completely intact.
No, but the soft part is.
What do you mean?
The soft part, where the udders were, right?
This is a male.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a male.
Bull.
This is
but
a bull.
I'm just still saying that it is quite possible that it bloated and popped and deflated naturally.
Then where did all the blood go?
To the bottom?
No, there's no blood in it.
You're saying there's no dried blood?
No, like there's
let me pull up this picture. Continue.
There's zero blood anywhere. And in fact, nobody can figure out what the hell is going on. And we're not talking, you know, these people are not... Let's just say they're not co-captains. These aren't people that are, you know, into conspiracies or crazy alien things. And in fact, the sheriff's office is offering a $25,000 reward.
Wow.
This is a teeny sheriff's office in a teeny place. But these animals are worth a fortune. And obviously, this is how these people make their livelihood. So it's really difficult.
So obviously, you think...
There isn't anything within our... realm of understanding that can explain this. No, I'm not saying aliens. I'm certainly not ruling aliens out, but I'm saying this is not something I believe a human could swoop in and do.
So if it was an alien, why do you think they'd be doing this? And I guess how?
Well, this is where I need to do a lot more research for a full episode on cattle mutilations, but you know, there have been people who've theorized that it has to do with genetic collections, almost like a Noah's Ark type thing.
Sure, digital Noah. Well, I guess not digital, but I guess DNA.
Right. And having mass quantities of blood to help with various whatever they might need medically, and they may have some way to convert animal blood into something that's usable for them.
Maybe their blood type is...
cattle negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Jamie and I were reading a little bit about this, and she pulled up a really interesting theory about why it looks the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, the classic UFO teleportation.
Ooh,
yeah, it's sucking it into the sky.
And
they look flat and deflated like that because they're literally dropped out of the sky when they're done being used.
Well, and that, so this is funny. Even the NPR story brings this up. They have been looking for depressions underneath the body in case it has been dropped from a long way.
But... Colby Marshall, who is the vice president of this ranch, he thinks that it is some sort of cult. And he referenced a bunch of livestock mutilations like we talked about at the beginning in the late 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Because that did happen. There were thousands of cattle and other livestock from Minnesota to New Mexico that were actually found dead with their reproductive organs and sometimes part of their faces removed, which is gross, but also kind of metal as heck.
Yeah. I mean, these poor little animals.
Apparently, there's a proponent of this theory named Roberta Donovan. Have you ever heard that name?
No.
You should, because she's from Montana.
Really?
Yeah.
We should go talk to her then.
We should reach out. She wrote a book in 1976 called Mystery Stalks the Prairie, where she documents experiences in Great Falls in Cascade County investigating cattle mutilations and cult involvement.
Wow. Okay. If it's a cult, I want the explanation from Marshall on how this works.
Well, udder hats. They cut the udders out and wear them like hats, of course.
Okay.
That's not true. I don't know why. But I mean, yeah, during that period in the 70s and 80s, the FBI and actually the ATF, they found out it was in their jurisdiction to investigate this. They did investigate and were unable to determine how or why a cult would perform procedures that would result in these sort of mutilations. And in the middle of their investigation, the mutilations just stopped.
Yeah, which is very, very strange. It's like any other high strangeness category. There are some instances that I think can easily be explained by humans. This and crop circles are two of the most interesting, like how the hell? Because there are pieces about at least some of the cases that nobody can explain how they could be perpetuated by humans.
But much like crop circles, there are instances of both.
Right.
Fake and real.
Right. There are tons of instances.
Can you not? Is that your alarm to when you should be waking up?
No, it's my alarm for doing payroll and paying taxes.
Oh, a lot of fun.
It's a great day.
We're not just adults.
Oh, God.
Very interesting.
And back in the day, there was never any evidence that ultimately linked it to any cult or occult activity. But part of me believes that if it was some jackass group doing that, there would have been something that came out in the last, you know, 40 years.
A slip up.
Right. Because let's face it, those groups aren't typically Oregon hillbilly cult groups.
That's true. We should point out Oregon. A lot of people think Stumptown, a.k.a. Portland.
Yeah, but that's...
South and Eastern Oregon.
Yeah. Very different. Very different.
Pretty rural.
Yeah.
Pretty rural.
I want to see where this heads, and I'm obviously going to be paying very close attention to it. Good excuse to do a full report on cattle mutilations. But in the meantime, anybody who lives out there, anybody who has experienced one of these situations back in the day or presently, love to hear from you.
Send me a pic.
I don't want a pic. I want a story.
No more pics.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, on Monday... a Virginia college student named Louisa Cutting.
Oh, yeah. She made some bad choices.
Yeah. She was sentenced to serve 20 years in jail for the murder of her 20-year-old Radford University roommate, who was actually a psychology major, and that'll be interesting later, named Alexa Cannon. She killed her inside their off-campus apartment.
Mm.
Authorities responded to the residence on January 24th around 8 a.m. after a neighbor called 911 to report arguing and screaming coming from inside. Officers were met at the apartment's door by Louisa, who, covered in blood, put her arms behind her back and said, "Arrest me." She then said, "I killed her."
Well, I mean, that simplifies things.
Speeds up the process. Mm-hmm. Alexa's body was found inside on the floor, having been stabbed 30 times.
Why?
She had a butcher knife sticking out of her mouth.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like to use the phrase when I'm really angry, like, I'm going to stab you in the mouth.
Sure.
But I never mean it literally. I don't know that I've ever heard a story that takes it literally.
Maybe that in the movies, but never heard of that in real life.
Whoa.
No. It was determined that she did die from multiple sharp force injuries.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
This isn't a mystery like the last story. Apparently, Louisa had flown into a psychotic rage and stabbed her best friend.
Why?
We kind of know why. When asked by police, Louisa said in a bizarre and rambling confession that she was under the influence of several drugs when she stabbed her roommate, saying, quote, she was doing cocaine with the devil.
Okay, so do you think that she was actually doing bath salts? Somebody told her it was cocaine?
No,
it was bath salts?
It wasn't just cocaine. She had been binging on a cocktail of drugs, including cocaine, Xanax, marijuana, Adderall, and mushrooms.
Oh, so that's where hallucinations come in. Man, that's just a cluster F of supposed to make you chill and peaceful, supposed to make you crazy and angry.
Yeah, it's the old upper downer hallucinogen.
Sideways, backwards.
I don't know what they call that. It's not a speedball, right?
Why would somebody do that much? No. Why would anybody do that many drugs at once?
It's bad.
How old was she?
She was 20.
And the University of Virginia, you said?
That's right.
They are known for having a lot of wealthy kids, and overachieving 20-something girls can be really brutal to each other, but this is, whoo.
Yeah. Louisa said in court, "There are no words for this tragedy, and my heart is filled with sorrow and grief. I am so, so sorry." And then they let her go.
No, they didn't. No.
They were going for 40 years, but...
What'd she get?
She got 20.
Okay.
And this was because the family didn't want to go through a lengthy appeal process. They kind of wanted to put this to bed.
And rather than... They just said, hopefully she'll just take 20 and go away.
Yeah, she took the plea.
All right, so... Historically, had this woman, was she schizophrenic? Did she have mental health stuff on top of making really bad drug consumption choices?
Yeah, not to my knowledge. From what I can tell, this is purely a drug psychosis incident. They were literally best friends.
I'm going to have to tell my friend, she's always joking about how hilarious it would be if I ever did any kind of drugs like that because I'm so weird without them. We should make sure she knows that that could get real dangerous for her.
It's interesting. Their relationship, people can actually see it as it grew on their Instagram pages. This is something that we didn't have when we were growing up. You couldn't, whenever there's a murder or a shooting, I always go straight to social media to kind of look back at the person that they were.
Yeah.
On one post, the victim said, as a caption on an Instagram page, "I met this girl 2 years ago online and somehow we ended up living across from each other for a year. This summer, she was the equivalent to my mom in Cancun."
The equivalent to my mom in Cancun.
I think they were partying in Cancun.
A little.
"She still puts up with me and now we're living together a year later. Love you more, Lou, and every day pray that we don't kill each other this year."
Ooh.
And then Louisa responded, "Love you, my love," with a heart emoji.
Ooh. Whoa.
Terrible story.
Real bad. And were they on campus when this happened? No.
Off-campus apartment. Yeah.
Okay. Lucky for UVA.
Oh my God.
Let's be honest, it would have been a big deal.
Oh, of course it would. It's still a huge deal. This person murdered a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people think the music of Blink 182 could drive a person to murder someone.
I don't. I don't see how.
No, you don't think so? My husband really doesn't like.
That's true.
Sam's not a 182 fan at all. But I will tell you, Tom DeLonge's doing some great things for UFO Jesus researchers these right. days. Yeah.
Still won't answer my emails again.
No, it's very frustrating.
I got through once.
Captain Kelly feels super snubbed.
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, come on, Tom. Kind of a cool update on the story that came out last year, year before.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think it was actually 2017. So Luis Elizondo, who used to work for a UFO-related group within the government, came out with some footage that was actually from the Navy, and there was also a Navy commander who came forth and said, yes, I was the person in the cockpit when this footage was filmed, explained what he saw. He said it was a 40-foot long Tic Tac UFO.
The Tic Tac UFO.
So everybody loves talking about Tic Tacs, okay?
Best thing to happen to Tic Tac ever.
It really is. I don't know why they aren't using the branding. They need to start making UFO-shaped containers.
They're too busy making the Minions ones.
Oh, I haven't seen those. Yeah. No, I do love Minions, though.
Putting all their eggs in that basket.
Well, wrong basket. Yeah. UFO basket. So a couple weeks ago, the Navy finally came forward, 2 years later, and said, yeah, actually, it's real.
It was real.
P.S. That stuff never should have come out. It wasn't supposed to come out, which makes it even cooler.
Yeah. Why would they come out and say that?
I don't know. Or it could be disinformation. My brain is so sideways, reverse psychology messed up from this.
And this is the USS Nimitz UFO incident. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
We now have this naval commander, David Fravor, who went on Joe Rogan. And we talked a little bit about Joe Rogan recently because he had Bob Lazar on with Jeremy Corbell, who directed that movie.
I don't like Jeremy.
Yeah, no, Jeremy is really tough, and I defended him at first. I was like, no, he's a nice guy. Give him a break.
Is that what you were like?
Don't judge him by his beard. But then
I've got a beard.
Okay, his beard and mustache is
groomed
15 levels more douchey than yours.
That's true.
It's real bad. The same commander has now revealed a second story that back in the 90s, one of his jobs was to fetch target drones. BQM target drones. Man, Sam would know what that is. It's over me. And submarine telemetry torpedoes from the ocean. So in other words, I believe this is like torpedoes that didn't explode, drones that went down. He would go out as a pilot and fetch these.
Well, yeah, because it's very important that our technology doesn't get in the hands of other people.
Right. For these missions, he would fly something called a CH-53, this really heavy chopper that lifts things. There's a fun video on Popular Mechanics of it lifting a 12-ton armored vehicle. So it's a strong little chopper.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he's off the East Coast somewhere near Puerto Rico, picking up a BQM drone, so some fancy target drone, okay? Sitting in front of the CH-53, the chopper, you can see down. If you look by your feet, you can see the water. He's like 50 feet above the water, which is actually pretty close when you think about a helicopter like hovering over the water. He sees something coming up from underneath the water.
Not a shark.
Not a shark. As he's trying to lift this drone out of the water, he starts wondering what the hell this is, this mass, and then suddenly it goes back down. They pull the swimmer who had supposedly hooked up the drone to the cords that were lifting it.
Mm-hmm.
They pull the kid out, but the drone doesn't come with it.
So something detached.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And or made it just completely disappear.
Because they weren't able to find it afterwards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how many of you have listened to our unidentified submerged UFO
episode 151.
So I honestly think that the underwater
UFOs... Oh, it's actually 150 and 51. I didn't know it was a two-parter.
I don't remember it being a two-parter either. That's wonderful.
Wow.
Glad we did that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is a Navy fellow. A couple people have come out and said, oh, I bet it was just a submarine. Clearly, he's seen submarines. This was not a freaking submarine. He would not have mistaken it for a submarine.
Yeah.
Now, what I would like to know, and I need to watch the whole report on Joe Rogan... I want to know what the young guy that was the diver who was hooking stuff up in the water, I want to know what he
saw. That's way more important.
Right, because he was basically touching it.
That's very scary.
Now, the pilot also says the torpedo did not sink back down, or the drone. And apparently, again, this is where Sam's weapons authenticity would help. But my understanding is this drone does have weapons on it. And that's why it's being called synonymous with a torpedo. He says it did not sink back down. It's not as though it just detached. It disappeared. It was gone. The place that it was when it had been hooked up, It was just gone.
Wow.
Super creepy. Amazing. I do want to hear from the diver, though.
I think that that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to... How long is this?
What were you asking about time for?
I was just trying to... I don't think we need time for it. I was just trying to figure out how long that episode is with David Fravor and...
It's 2 hours, I think.
Okay. And I guess I'm just hoping that there's very little input from Jeremy Corbell. Yeah, I'm also trying to figure out how he got back on the Joe Rogan Experience, because...
It was pretty obvious last time.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen Joe be that outright rude to somebody.
Uh-huh, shut up, basically.
Yeah, and...
Let Bob talk.
Right. And now I'm sure that Corbell must have just inserted himself and said, well, I'm the only one that could contact Fravor, and I'm not going to bring him on unless you let me come back again. I want to play. I want to be here.
That's kind of what the role of, what was that gentleman, the investigative reporter from Las Vegas, who kind of broke the story of Bob Lazar?
George Knapp, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of his role back in the day, too, was this kind of middleman.
But he was way less annoying.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah.
It's sad to think that Corbell is the modern George Knapp.
Yeah, but... I think we can't even say that. I mean, George Knapp is still alive, so let's just hope that George Knapp continues doing work.
Yeah, because he does far greater.
He really does. It's true.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure, Byron, you're going to have something, you know, depressing and awful to counteract the cool disappearing torpedo trick.
I'm going to say this is my lighter story of the day.
Oh, thank God.
If that means anything.
Okay, now I'm worried because I was hopeful and then you made a face.
I mean, anytime you're talking about Columbine, it's not...
Yep. Light, guys. This is the light one.
A Florida woman obsessed with the shooting at Columbine High School collected terrorist manifestos and had enough pipe bombs and bomb-making materials to harm, quote, hundreds, even thousands of people, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff. A woman named Michelle Knotts, who's 27, from the Tampa Bay area, was arrested on Thursday night and charged with 24 counts of making a destructive device with intent to harm. Each count represents the 24 pipe bombs that authorities found in her bedroom.
What?
Well,
how could you fit that many pipe bombs in your bedroom?
In a Tupperware bin.
Wow.
Great place for them. Her parents discovered the devices in her bedroom on Thursday afternoon and immediately called 911. When deputies visited the home, though, they found more than pipe bombs. They found, obviously, bomb-making materials like gunpowder and...
Not good.
23 different knives, hatchets, BB-type rifles, and BB-type handguns... Nunchucks, plus dozens of books and DVDs about murder, mass killings, domestic terrorism, and bomb making.
How old was this woman again?
27, living with her parents.
Nunchucks.
Yeah, she had nunchucks. No real guns, but BB-type rifles and BB-type handguns. A lot of them.
So she has real pipe bombs.
Uh-huh.
BB guns.
I think it's easier to make
bombs. And one more time.
Yeah.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Yeah. Okay. She did have hatchets, nunchucks, though. Nunchucks. Each bomb contained nails, metallic pellets, and a combination of both, and, quote, would have taken less than 60 seconds per device to add powder and fuse material that she already did own to detonate the bomb. So they were really close to complete.
And she's going to jail forever?
No. Her library included the Turner Diaries. Do you know about this?
No.
People consider it the white supremacist handbook, popularized around the time of the Oklahoma City bombing. Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one.
And she also had Ted Kaczynski's manifesto.
What state was this again?
Florida.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
And it's really interesting. This wasn't the first time that police had been alerted to this woman, Michelle. The sheriff's department received a call from a publisher in August of 2018 expressing concern that she had been ordering a significant number of domestic terror-related reading materials and manifestos. And wow. That's a big oh no to me.
Like, if a publisher notices?
I didn't know that they could do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, that actually makes me feel a lot better that they pay attention to that stuff.
I mean, I guess, but I do like to collect a lot of...
Maybe the Missoula County Police have gotten a couple calls on you, B.
Interesting reading material out in my living room. I hope they take account for any sort of true crime podcasters because it's very useful information to me.
Mm-hmm.
So because officers were so worried, obviously there were pipe bombs in this house. Yeah. They did call the bomb squad. They located her at Chadwell Supply, where she worked in Tampa. They're a maintenance company where she worked as, quote, a laborer.
What does that even mean?
Just a general laborer at this company? Huh. They took her into custody there. The sheriff said that she had become consumed by the Columbine and the Oklahoma City massacre. Right now, she has no diagnosis or history of mental illness problems.
Yeah, well, hopefully they've got somebody on that, because that's clearly...
Yeah, I mean, a big difference between a fascination and actually wanting to act on this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
During an interrogation, Michelle didn't say where she was going to detonate the bombs, but did say that she made the bombs and wanted to hurt people.
Hmm.
But yeah, female bombers, mass shooters, not super common, but this is actually really similar to something I talked about on the April 20th episode of It's Been a Weird Week. I think it's the fourth one we did.
Remember
Sol Pais?
Nope.
You really don't remember this. The 18-year-old woman who was infatuated with Columbine and flew from Florida to Denver.
Okay, yeah. Now I remember.
Causing lockdowns everywhere.
Yep.
After a brief manhunt. Remember, she was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's a story last month that I didn't know anything about. An 18-year-old waitress in Oklahoma was arrested after bragging to her colleagues that she wanted to shoot up her former high school for fun.
I actually remember reading a headline about that. I didn't go any further, but I did read the headline.
Yeah, and she had an AK-47 and a 12-gauge shotgun in her bedroom, police discovered.
There you go.
It's really awful that this woman was 27 and living with her parents, but she had great parents.
Yeah.
They were both former military, and they couldn't have been more cooperative, according to the sheriff's department. And it's because of these parents that they prevented this catastrophic event that could have happened in Tampa.
Yeah.
When they discovered what was happening, they called the police immediately, and the situation was defused. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was a bad joke.
Currently, she's being held in county jail in Tampa without bail.
Okay, good.
Yeah. God. It's the right place for her.
Yeah. And very far from us. Everybody down there, be careful.
Please be careful. Seems like Florida, it's weird. Seems like Florida's kind of sketchy.
I know, people think the same thing about Montana, though.
That's true. I mean, they've been watching Live PD and not seeing much, though, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I tuned in last week, and it was a deer had some net tangled on their horns.
Yeah, that'll happen around here.
But that was pretty happen. Much the only thing they were showing, so.
Well,
do you have an uplifting story to take us out on?
Slightly, because it does have to do with religion, though I'm not a big religion fan.
Looking up.
Yeah. Apparently, there's some really close connection between Buddha and aliens. You could probably go a lot of different directions with that, but specifically, there's this hilltop in Thailand, and it is believed by locals, and apparently quite a few people who are flocking to the site as well, that the top of this mountain, there is a portal.
Hmm.
That also happens to be a sugarcane field infested with crocodiles.
They got frickin' school bus driving by.
Damn school bus.
Get to school, kids.
Come on. The aliens use this portal from their planets Pluto and Loku, all right?
Wait, I know the first one.
Yeah, I don't know Loku either.
Okay.
So we're just going to have to, maybe it's in a different dimensional
maybe
plane.
It's a moon of Saturn?
Well, yeah, there are like 80 of them now, so it could be.
Over 20,
oh, no,
right?
Jupiter. Is it Jupiter?
I think it was Saturn, but I don't know.
I thought somebody made a drops of Jupiter joke. Okay, anyhow.
Now that we're back in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that over freaking
Black Eyed Peas?
Any day.
That's how we were getting pumped this morning.
Yeah, I wasn't.
It was not great.
Let's see. You take the railroad from Bangkok to Nakhon Sawan.
Okay.
Apparently that means city of heaven.
Wow.
All right? It's a 3-hour trek from that point. And these little silver aliens apparently will telepathically communicate with you if you sit on the top of that hill and meditate. I don't know exactly what type of meditation you're supposed to do either.
There are different kinds?
There are lots of different kinds for shizzle.
No.
The people who have been going there believe that the aliens that are coming from these planets, Pluto and Loku, are actually Buddhist themselves. It's causing quite a kerfluffle, though, because this area was not used to so much traffic, and the government has tried to ban people going up to the top of this mountain because it's become a bit of a problem. Close to this location, there is a large religious site with a Buddha statue and a Buddha footprint, which I'm not even going to go into the...
Is that like Bigfeet?
No, there's... Oh, God. I f***ing hate Tibetan Buddhists. Okay.
So relax.
Some branches of Buddhism believe that truly enlightened beings, when walking around on rocks, can leave footprints in those rocks.
Okay.
I believe that this is one such footprint.
Wow. Are there a lot?
I mean, they're kind of like the Virgin Mary and toast.
Okay.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you're like, hey.
Look at this. You see that? It's a footprint.
It's a footprint of a Buddha.
It?
Well, it could be.
Oh, okay. Huh. Cool. Yeah.
People are pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. They get really excited about it.
Wow. Okay.
Now there are actual groups that are going up there. One group that was specifically campaigning for the extraterrestrials. Not sure what they were campaigning for other than on their behalf somehow. There were 60, all wearing like white tops, white bottoms. It sounds very much like a cult.
Sounds fun, yeah.
Yeah. Wanted to go up and have a video made while some of them meditated on the hill in hopes of mind melding with the aliens. They were hoping to catch something on film. But because the police came out, they really weren't willing to risk getting arrested.
So is this private property? How does this work?
Yeah.
It must be.
It is private
property.
Someone's
sugarcane field.
Right. So they just sat at the bottom of the hill and meditated for a while and then they left. I don't know that they got much out of it, unfortunately.
Weird. It's kind of like that Skinwalker Ranch guy.
Yes.
Strange people showing up there.
Yes, very true. Some fun stories about spinning. When the UFO spun me, I didn't feel dizzy at all.
What? What does that even mean? Someone got like spun by like the beam?
Wow. So
this is ridiculous.
It's in Thailand. I felt my legs and my arms had to spin.
What?
I could not control myself for 4 or 5 minutes. I didn't feel afraid. We both spun outside.
Wow.
So basically, these mind-melding alien Buddhists from Pluto turn you into a whirling dervish.
It sounds like you may be at a Michael Franti concert.
Oh, you totally could be. Actually, that's a really good point.
Well, what a fun week it's been, Kelly.
It has been a really fun week.
This is like a rare one where like we didn't have to try very hard.
No, there was a lot.
It's
yeah.
been odd.
It has been odd between awesome cattle mutilations and horrible serial killers.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about.
Busy week, lots to talk about.
Yeah.
When we come back from this, we're going to be doing, I believe, The Lighthouse, and I'll be talking about my experience at Telluride
Woo!
Horror.
Oh my God, excited for both of those things, very much so.
Well, Kelly, I'm going to go back to bed, I think.
I'm going to go to work.
All right, well,
yeah, how do we end this shit again?
I can't remember, but I think we say something like...
Can I tell people to go watch the video of the dancing gorilla? Google the video
of
the dancing gorilla, because that gorilla also looks like it's at a Michael Franti concert, and it will make your day better. It is the best video ever.
Oh, look at that. Look at that guy.
Look at her.
It's been Kelly at FrightDay.com. I'm Byron McCoy. Byron at FrightDay.com is my email address. Have a weird week.
That is a Michael Franti dancing gorilla.
That gorilla's frantic.
You've been listening to an Audio Wool original, produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.